the rest of the story. Herb and May, always fighting as they were, never quite came to blows, far as anyone knows. Still fighting all the time, over money which neither had, over liquor of which both had too much, and yet in the eye of that human hurricane was this. Herb and May were different as night and day. He, the sociable schemer, the public boozer, she, the guarded neurotic, the secret tippler, and nothing would ever change either into the other. And so it was, 10 days before Christmas 1925, that Herb and May fought one last time. Because Herb had decided he'd had enough. His preparations for leaving his wife were as thorough and as cunning as the plot of any mystery novel. To get him enough money for a fresh start, he forged May's signature to the necessary forms. He borrowed $150 and then waited for the next twice-monthly payday to increase the sum sufficiently to give him enough time to make a clean getaway. He would leave work at noon for a long lunch, he had told his co-workers, to put them off guard and to keep May unsuspecting. He would invite her to meet him after work. Maybe we'll take in a show, he had said. And to ensure that he could not be traced through his face, he took every family photograph in which he appeared and quietly removed them from his home and even from his office desk and destroyed them. According to its purpose, Herb's plan worked perfectly. For hours that December night, so close to Christmas, May waited on the street where he had promised they would meet. But Herb had vanished. Into the snowy canyons of Manhattan, he had vanished, leaving behind his $35 a week job at Mutual Life Insurance Company, leaving behind his family and the crummy little apartment at 358 Chauncey Street in Brooklyn. For anybody who had ever known him or loved him, he was never to be seen again. And yet in the shadows of the saga of Herb and May, all the while, there trembled a little boy. 9 years young, when Daddy left home forever. For a few years more, mother and son struggled in poverty. And he, Herbert John, was still in his teens when she died. But when Herbert John grew up, he put things right the only way he knew how. He recreated the little apartment at 358 Chauncey Street. He recreated that little apartment, and he put his parents back in it, and he made them make up night after night after night, forever after. On the trophy shelf of television history, a place of honor is reserved for the pioneer situation comedy called The Honeymooners, the hilarious, often poignant, continuing tale of an embattled blue-collar family the world knows as the Cramdons. And that ever-popular series was the unique invention of its star, Herbert John Gleason. Jackie Gleason, who insisted that each episode end with a hug and a kiss and an undeserving husband's declaration, "You're the greatest." Now you know why. Because now you know the rest of the story.